Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Murder 123. This is Dr. John Stamey. We always have an exciting show. Murder is a topic that people just can't seem to get enough of. But anyway, we're glad to have everybody here. First of all, our report tonight was prepared by none other than our genius investigator, Tony Filosi. How are you doing tonight, Tony?
I'm doing fine, John. How about you? I'm excited about the podcast, and you were mentioning about the, you know, the Murder 123. Man, it's going really great. I think we're killing it. Get it? Killing it? Murder?
Yeah. Well, we want to kill it, but we want to do some great things. And right now, we're all putting our heads together and trying to get our Murder 123 lecture series put together so people can come meet us and you can hear all about these crazy, crazy things that go on, and they're very interesting. I don't know but of one or two other series that go on, so we're looking at some interesting places, and somewhere in the Mid-Atlantic will be our first one, and we'll get that announced as soon as possible. So anyway, we are just glad to have you here, Tony, and why don't you just start? You either read or simply just tell the story.
Well,
of Chief of Police James Pope, and you now have the floor, sir.
Thank you very much. What I'll do is I'll kind of read a little, and then we'll hit some discussion points because it is such an interesting story. I don't want to leave anything out. But we're talking about Chief of Police James C. Pope. He was Chief of Police in Harlan County during the early years of Prohibition. I think Prohibition went into effect around 1920 to 1933 or so, somewhere in there. So he was a World War I veteran. He was young. For Chief of Police.
Yeah, he was really young to be Chief of Police. Wasn't he about 32 or 30? No, he wasn't even 30, was he?
No, he was like 28. I think there's some typos in his stuff because he was born in 93, maybe, and died in 22. So he was around 28, 29 years old when he died. He was a World War I vet, and that's probably one of the reasons that, that they, at such a young age, he got that position is he had, unfortunately, he had probably a lot of experience with tough times, you know, during World War I. But let's get on into how Chief Pope was murdered or was killed in the line of duty. And at the end of this, there is a paranormal twist to this story.
Uh-oh.
Yes, absolutely. Lots of activity with Chief Pope and the ball Sydney and Lloyd were killed. But we'll start out with a coroner's report. Looks like by Lewis W. Dinkler. Chief of Police J.C. Pope, age 32 years, Lloyd Ball, age 50 years, and his son Sidney Ball, age 25 years, were all killed Tuesday afternoon at the Ball home on Cumberland Avenue in Harlan. When Chief Pope and Officer Angel went there to arrest the two men who were alleged to be intoxicated. Now, why were they arresting these guys? You know, people will say, well, if they were drinking in their own home, why were they going in to arrest them? Well, Prohibition was on. And so it was, if somebody told on you for drinking in your own home and you had alcohol there, they would come and they would take it from you and arrest you. When Chief Pope and Officer Angel went there to arrest the two men who were alleged to be intoxicated, according to the information given us from various sources, Chief Pope had been called from the courtroom of the circuit court where he was a witness for the Commonwealth to investigate this trouble, and on his way to the Ball home, he met Officer Angel, commanding him to follow and assist in arresting the men. On arrival of, now this is pretty messed up by today's standards. You go pull a guy out of court to go arrest folks in their home for drinking a little bit of alcohol. So, but you know, prohibition was not the smartest thing that it's one of the smartest laws ever passed. On the arrival of the officers at the Ball home, Chief Pope knocked on the door of the house and was invited to come in by Mr. Lloyd Ball. Chief Pope asked Mr. Ball where the drunken men were and was informed one was upstairs and another in a room downstairs. And if the chief would wait a little while, he would himself bring the men to court. Just at that time, one of the men came into the reception hall from an adjoining room, and Chief Pope walked over to him, placing him under arrest. Sid Ball, who had been upstairs, came down the stairs and started toward the chief. Now, I walked down those stairs. We did an investigation in that very home 6-7 years ago, and I came down those very stairs that Sid Ball came down whenever this gunfire started, and it was very heavy. I can tell you this. It's a two-story home, and the upstairs has some very heavy energy there. And we'll get more into that later. But I have actually walked down those stairs that they are talking about right here. When Officer Angel intercepted him, placed him under arrest, and a struggle ensued in which Sid Ball drew a gun and began firing. Officer Angel grabbed him, catching hold of his arm and trying to get him to break hold of the gun, but they wrestled sufficiently long enough for Sid Ball to fire several shots from a gun at 32 Special, none of which touched Angel, although his coat was powder burned in three places. Angel, noting Sid Ball weakening, discovered blood running from a wound in his head, and releasing his hold, Sid Ball dropped to the floor, dying a few minutes later. I stood in the very spot where he died, in the very room, in the very spot. Turning around, Angel was in time to see the chief stagger out the front door, and on a second glance around the room saw Lloyd Ball lying on the floor dead with a bullet in his heart. Angel reached the sidewalk in time to see Pope fall on the grass near the curb. On account of the dense smoke in the small hall, the smoke was caused by what back in those days you still had what black powder cartridges that your bullets were loaded with, not the smokeless powder we have today. So whenever all that gunfire happened, you had this. Just imagine, you know, shooting a cap and ball pistol. You know, probably not to that amount of smoke coming. There was quite a bit of smoke coming from those guns because of the powder that it was loaded with, and it's probably kind of hard to see each other if you're really, it's not going to be like a big fog, but now they talk about, they make reference to the dense smoke in the small hall, because I've been in the hallway, and it's fairly narrow, so you just imagine.
Well, I'm gonna stop you there, and I'm gonna do two things. I'm gonna say one experience that I had with the Revolutionary War reenactment, and then I'm gonna introduce our Queen of Murder 1-2-3 who is with us. First of all, when I was at Camden, South Carolina, and they were doing a Revolutionary War reenactment, the smoke was so thick you couldn't see anybody, and it's, they take a lot of precautions to make sure that nobody from either side of the British or the Americans that are doing the reenactment will walk into a certain area. You know, they have a couple of lines painted because you can't see a thing with all that smoke. And I mean, you know, that was basically the gunpowder technology. It wasn't a whole lot different than what you had in 1932. So, I mean, it was a little bit of a mess. It was a fright, you know, war was a frightening thing, and just carrying guns and using them was frightening because they would unleash a fog that was terrible. So I just wanted to say you're 100% right on how dangerous it could be and how little you could see. And I also want to introduce the Queen of Murder 1-2-3, the wonderful, wonderful Robin McRae. How are you doing?
I'm doing great now that I could get on air. I've been trying since before the show started.
I'm sorry, because this is the producer's fault, because I typed in the wrong phone number, because I am prone. Boy, you should have seen me trying to get a doctorate degree with as many typos as I have. So anyway, we're just glad to have you here. And Tony has been relaying the story of Captain Pope. And it's just really interesting. I have a story.
It seems like it. Do we
know
how many people were there?
Yes, there was Chief Pope, his deputy Angel, you had Sid Ball, Lloyd Ball, possibly a third man that come from the basement, and Mrs. Ball. That's all that I know that there. So there was five or six folks there when shooting started, and and it was a really small, I mean, where they all would have been standing in proximity to those steps, I mean, you're talking about maybe 40, 50 square feet, maybe a little bit more. I mean, they were really right on top of one another whenever all that started.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. And we have no way of knowing. Like, I mean, there could have been other people in the house that we're not aware of.
You hit a good point, because there actually was an unknown assailant that escaped.
They have no idea who it is. I mean, they're listing him as an unknown man.
Yes, yes.
So obviously there was someone in the house that the public's not aware of.
Yes. And whenever all the gunfire started and the smoke started boiling, this guy got out. You know, I mean, they couldn't identify him. You know, according to the records, you know, and I don't know why they wouldn't have identified him. It was an interesting story. I mean, because, you know, it's prohibition. They go get the chief of police out of court to come arrest two drunk guys in
their
home.
Exactly.
And that's just, you know, and I know it was a different time back then, but, you know, you have to put yourself in the Ball's place, even though it was against the law to have some alcohol. Why would you go and harass these people if they're in their own home?
That makes no sense.
Well, at the end of it, we'll draw some conclusions. We talked about before about how the liquor trade in Hardin County got many a man killed. And one of the interesting folks here, was the sheriff that come on the scene after the chief was killed, with J.H. Blair. And we've talked about him being the sheriff during the first part of the mine wars and how corrupt he was. So it probably was that these guys were selling a little alcohol, and they got on the right.
Yeah.
They weren't giving whomever their cut, and they were shutting them down, because it's like, you know, why do you leave court to come and shut down two drunk guys? Well, later on it comes out.
Tony, before
yes.
you continue, I've got a couple logistical questions here. Now,
mm-hmm.
there was Sid and his father. There
mm-hmm.
was there were the two policemen, Mrs.
Mm-hmm.
Ball,
mm-hmm.
and we say that another person was downstairs and somehow
yes.
vanished. Now,
yes.
I would assume that comes from what Mrs. Ball might have told. Or, I mean, how do we know that fact?
I think Officer Angel chased also. Officer Angel pursued. He ran out, and Officer Angel chased him for a bit and lost him.
Oh, that's right. Angel was not murdered. He was just there on the scene with
Angel
with
was
the cap.
In the middle of the shooting. Yeah, with Chief Pope. Chief Pope
yeah.
and Angel went to arrest them, and then the fight started, and then both Chief Pope and Officer Angel engaged these guys, and then the chief gets mortally wounded. Angel gets some powder burns on his coat, and this unknown assailant comes you know, running out through the smoke and stuff, and Angel pursues him from a short distance.
Well, and
loses
I want to put
him.
Something
okay.
else out, out there
sure,
because
yes,
this right. is what I do, okay? We know I deal with all the weird and freaky stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's just part of my normal.
Okay.
And if I'm correct, and Tony, you would know this, there was a lot of paranormal activity in that house.
Absolutely.
And if there's paranormal activity, and I'm not saying any of these people that are involved in it were overly nice people, but as we all know, there's good entities and bad entities. So we don't know that maybe, and I'm just saying it out there, doesn't mean that's what it is. It's possible that had something to do with what went on that night.
It's possible because Harlan, all of Harlan City is built basically on Indian burial ground. And I mean, the history here predates a lot of what's in the history books. What's there's a, I mean, so you have, and this is a good a camping area. It's where the rivers came into to form the Cumberland.
Uh-huh.
And so that I would imagine that not only did that make it a good place for the Native Americans to hunt and fish, and you had big flats that, you know, sometimes heavy rains would flood, but most of the time were really great places for them to camp and gather food and contrary to common belief, you know, the Native Americans weren't real nomadic here. They, if there was food, water, and shelter, they hung out. They, I mean, why wouldn't they go with you?
Right.
So, and then they buried, you know, with that said, they buried a lot of their dead in right where downtown Harlan is. And, downtown Harlan started out life as Mount Pleasant and then evolved on into Harlan.
So basically they built over the Indian burial ground.
Yes, lots and lots.
Which is never a good thing.
No.
Right. And
I mean,
and
you're talking about sacred land.
Exactly. And when you talk about the fact that the Indians stayed there, I learned something very interesting when I was up in at the Cherokee Reservation working on the Comic-Con there. You know, a lot of people, when they think about Indians and tribes and settlements, they think of teepees. The Cherokee never had a teepee. They built cabins. They built log cabins, and I saw several examples of them. And so, you know, you go into a place where they've got cabins, they've got settlements, and the settlers, as they call them, would just come in and blow them away. And you're going to have some areas that are going to have some very bad spiritual vibes. Is that correct, Robin?
Absolutely. And, I mean, you're talking about when you do that, you will get these darker entities or pissed off spirits or however you want to word it, and they will literally cause trouble. They will mess with people's heads, and they will cause all of this. I mean, if they're not going to be on their land, why would they want anybody else on it? Now, I'm not saying that's what happened in this case, but I don't think we can ignore it.
No.
Well, Robin, I want to further get this point across that you just said. I've been to Camden, South Carolina, so many times I can't count them. What most people do not know is that the city of Camden is built about a mile and a half north of the original settlement that the Americans made. And what happened was the British came in, they burned the entire settlement. There is a gigantic piece of land just south of town. It's a beautiful meadow now. It's probably about 4 square feet in size. Now, if you ever set foot on that, that's where the settlers were tortured, they were killed, and everything that they had was burnt to the ground. You will get the most serious feeling of dread you have ever had. And, I mean, it is so thick you can cut it with a knife. And it's just on that large meadow area, you know, that all that's left from that original settlement. You then go across the street to one of those very, very old graveyards from around 1750 to 1800.
Right.
There is more paranormal activity. You can simply walk in some of those thin areas, and you can brush into something that's 10 to 15 degrees colder. I mean, I did it in the summer one time, and I walked through there, and it was like, Jesus, what's going on? I was there with one of the leading historians at Historic Canada, and he said, you just met Agnes of Glasgow. That's where we believe she's buried, and some people can walk through there. So, you know, Robin, again, corroborating what you said in an independent experience, it is very real for these spirits to to congregate, and you know, you've got a good point that maybe the missing piece is that there was some very bad behavior that could have been caused by bad spirits.
It's possible. I mean, obviously, I think that the alcohol part played, you know, the moonshine, that played a part in it. But I just think that even in a bad situation, if you have negative and dark entities around you, or per se, let's say that, you know, there was a curse put on that land or whatever, that's all going to amplify any bad situation. So what might have been something that wasn't great, but it's not going to get people killed, could be amplified to go even further. And in this case, it's going to be really hard to tell because most of the key witnesses are dead. You know, the only ones that can really say what's going on died.
I can tell you there's really heavy energy, especially on that second floor. And then we'll get more into that after the story about I have some really interesting firsthand accounts of some of the activity that happened at home.
But, oh, I'd love to
super.
Hear it.
Yeah, and then, you know, when we investigated, we had footsteps. We had a ball move, a few EVPs. So, and then nobody wants to stay on the second floor. Nobody. But, okay, we're back to Sid Ball has a wound in his head. Turning around, Angel was in time to see the chief staff out the front door, and on second glance from the room, saw Lloyd Ball like dead on the floor dead with a bullet in his heart. Angel reached the sidewalk in time to see the following passion of the curb. I stood right within feet of that, of where that Chief Pope fell and died. On account of the dense smoke in the small hall and the fact he was trying to keep Sid Ball from shooting him, Angel is unable to say who it was that killed him or Chief Pope. He has a hazy recollection that it was the man who escaped that fired the shot and killed Pope, and who, so far as unknown to police officials, he cannot say either who killed Lloyd Ball or what words passed between Chief Pope, Lloyd Ball, and the man. It was later determined that Jim, Chief Pope, killed Lloyd Ball. They took the bullets out of his body. On reaching the stop,
so they said that the Chief Pope is the one that actually killed Lloyd Ball?
Yes. He's the one that killed Lloyd Ball. I'm thinking, you know, if you'll read this and read it two or three times, you know, how does Angel not know? Angel's right with him when he goes in the house. Angel does not come in, and I mean, I know there's thick smoke and things, but I think Angel knew who the third guy was.
I get a really weird vibe off this officer, Angel.
I think
he knows a whole lot, and I feel like he might have played both sides.
Very possible.
Robin, I had that feeling about a minute ago, and I think this was an entire, as Kevin Sullivan said about the Chris Benoit murder, this was a setup. This was not, you know, they never really talked about the fact that when Sid Ball came down that he acted drunk. I mean, this was an absolute, this just has all the smell of a setup. Don't you agree, Robin? The whole thing.
I absolutely do. And I think there's things in here that may never come out. But I think this has got a lot of layers to it and a lot more complicated than any of the public records. Now, Tony, you're great at digging into stuff, so you might be able to figure it out. But I just think it's not what it seems. And I think this angel is up to his little butt in this.
I don't think it is what it seems either, because there's too many, you know, loose ends. If there's a shootout and some guy runs by you and starts running down the street, you're going to shoot him in the back. You're going to shoot him because there was just a shootout. He might have just killed the chief. So he's fleeing. You know, I'm sure he called on him to stop or should have. So why didn't Officer Angel shoot the guy? Was he out of bullets? Did he just not? You know what happened? You know, I think that
the other thing, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but the other thing that I thought was really odd is, you know, it talks about how Sid Ball drew a gun and Angel grabbed him and hung on to him and they wrestled for this gun. Now everybody else has been hit. But I think it's very bizarre that all these gunshots were supposedly, and I say supposedly, shot at Angel. Yet he was never hit. But everybody else was.
The only thing they could find on Angel was powder residue.
And what I'm saying is maybe it was made to look like somebody was firing at Angel.
Because
he was never hit.
Well, who's to say he wasn't Angel powder burned himself whenever he held the gun close to himself?
Absolutely. I think it just sounds like he was playing both sides of that fence, and he tipped off whoever was at the house. I think Angel has a lot more to do with it than it looks like.
There's definitely a lot of unanswered questions. Let's see. On reaching the sidewalk, Angel threw his gun and started in pursuit of the unknown man, who passed from the house just behind Chief Pope, but he was unsuccessful in his pursuit. Now, again, why don't you shoot the guy? Some section men working on the railroad.
Unless you don't really want to catch him.
Exactly. Some section men working on the railroad say they saw a man answering the description given, running down the railroad track toward Baxter. Angel returned to the street in front of the Ball home, where he found Pope dying and hurriedly summoned an ambulance from the Harlan Hospital. But when the ambulance arrived, Chief Pope had died. The reporter reached the scene of the tragedy a few moments after the shooting. He found Sid Ball lying face downward upon a sack in the reception hall and a great pool of blood at the feet of the body. The body of Lloyd Ball had been carried into the bedroom by members of the family. He had been killed in the same room as others, but the exact position of the body when he fell has not been
learned. See, that makes no sense to me either. Why would they be moving that body around?
No, they weren't
moving anybody else's bodies.
No.
That's right, and blood runs uphill. Ask Vince Foster. Exactly.
Sorry. Okay, here we get into J.H. Blair. Sheriff J.H. Blair, Deputy Toad Ruffler, right on the shortly after the shooting. Now, were they on their way to help him already, or was it part of the setup that they knew the shooting was going to go down, so they come in? You know, they got there. You got to figure 1922, there's no telephone. I mean, no telephone, no radios probably in the cars. There's no, and they didn't have a car. They'd walk from what I'm gathering. You don't have cell phone. You don't have any way to get a hold of Sheriff Blair and to holler for backup. Could they have heard the shots? Possibly. But they got there awfully quick. You know, I mean, Harlan would have been a noisy town. I mean, Harlan's noisy. You had a lot of people in Harlan at that time. So if he was in the courthouse, which is several blocks away, you wouldn't have heard the shots. Even on a quiet night, you could hear the shots. But during the day, with all the road noise and everything going on, you're not going to hear those shots. Now, here's another thing. Blair and Toad Rutherford arrived on the scene shortly after the shooting, and together with a reporter, turned the body of Sid Ball over. Now, that's the boy, revealing a ghastly sight. The stack under the head of Sid Ball contained 1 gallon of moonshine and 1 half gallon in a jar and the other 1/2 gallon in 2 Army canteens. The whiskey was taken to the sheriff's office. Now, you have a gunfight. These guys are wrestling around. He's not going to be holding a sack of liquor with all of his stuff in it. It sounds to me like that they've had this, they've thrown this, somebody's had this, and they've tossed it down and tossed the body on. Because, you know, if Sid, he came from, if I'm not mistaken, downstairs. So he'd have had brought it with him. Lloyd was standing there talking to him. They would have looked down and saw it and said, "Hey, Lloyd, you're going to jail too. Look at this." So it, I've always found that to be suspect, where that all of a sudden all this liquor ends up under this guy's head. Now, if he, even if he had had a hold of it, which he didn't, and he'd fallen, more than likely that those jars banging together, something will probably break.
I don't think it had anything to do with alcohol. I think that was just one more part of the plan to deter from what really was going on.
It's always stunk to me. I mean, it, you know, and, you know, the archives don't go back that far. But I'm going to double check. But because I have some more research I need to do. It may have made the archives, maybe in Belgium. So if I'm over that way, I'm going to check their libraries also. But
what about this Dr. Vermillion?
I'm sorry.
Okay. Dr. Vermillion, he was at the coroner's inquest. Mm-hmm. He claims that he was at home at the time when they all went to the ball home. He saw Mr. Ball 5 minutes before he was killed. He was on his back porch. Then he heard shots fired. He said he couldn't tell how many or if they, because they were all in a rapid succession. So he said it could have been five shots fired. It could have been five shots fired at one time or three from one gun and two from another. So regardless, the shots were just boom, 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 boom. In a normal, I mean, to me that seems odd.
Well, also, you know, as we look on into this, you know, the 32 caliber, let's see, 32 caliber pearl handle pistol containing six exploded shells is found on the floor a short distance from the body of Sid Ball. Okay, we'll say that Sid Ball fired six shots. Okay, Angel fired some rounds. Then you had Chief Pope fire some rounds. So there was more than five, you know.
Well, did they ever do any forensic on the bullets to find out
if
they matched the guns that were publicly, known to be used?
I think that was a little before that type of technology, but they did. They were able, and I'm imagining that the two officers were carrying 38s. So they, when they pulled some slugs from one of Sid Ball's, whichever one that Chief Pope killed, maybe it was Lloyd, that they said that the chief had killed him, you know. But I'm gonna dig a little deeper into this because I know I can find the death certificates. I can't, you know, I might not be able to find the articles from the exact articles from the day. But I will be able to find the death certificates and kind of do a little bit more digging.
Well, if anybody can find it, Tony, you can.
Let's hope. I appreciate that. But I know where the graveyard is that the Ball gentlemen are buried in. So I may try to go up there and get photographed just because this is it's starting to interest me a little bit more, and try to go gather up the gravestones, get photos of the gravestones. Now, blood was spattered all over the floor, lower step of the stairs. Those who got near enough to see inside the door turned away, apparently sitting by the side. A further examination revealed 9 bullet holes in the wall of the house. Miss Pope was notified and hurried to the hospital. Miss Pope was already dead. She collapsed and removed in her home. Now, okay, I'm finding some stuff suspect there. You're probably, how are there 9 bullet holes in a wall?
Yeah.
If they're pulling bullets out of bodies.
This is sounding like like the JFK assassination. There seem to be too many bullets. There's too much stuff going on. Stuff's coming
from
all kinds of angles.
There were more guns used than what they think. I mean, for this kind of a thing, and to hear that rapid fire, I mean, unless they're standing there with machine guns, which I highly doubt,
right.
It's just too much at one time.
Right.
This is the gunfight at the OK Corral. Come on.
I think Chief Pope was, from my gut tells me, that Chief Pope was a straight shooter. He wasn't, and I had to get him out of the way. I might be completely off base with that, but he's young, he's idealistic, he's World War One vet, so he's still, World War One's only been over 3 years.
And I was just thinking that he is exactly what that sheriff doesn't want. He is exactly the
right.
kind of police
he's
chief
exactly,
that...
Exactly. And we know that J.H., from knowing the characters, we know J.H. Blatter was as dirty as a case. I mean, violence, I mean, he, being sheriff of Harlan County, he had a lot of power. And now, especially in Harlan, there were a lot of speakeasies, brothels and things in Harlan. So if Pope, even though he was just police chief at that time, Harlan City had a lot of people in it. So he could have been cutting into their business and said, hey, position is locked plan. This is the way it's going to be. This is what I'm going to do. And, you know, again, why go get him out of court for two contracts? He's testified
well,
in court.
Let me ask you this, Tony. How accurate do we really know the accuracy of the coroner's jury report?
No.
Could this be a lot of fiction, Robin? Does this?
No, I think,
did that thing read a little bit like a true crime novel? It did to me.
I don't think it's accurate at all. I don't think it's accurate at all. I think it skirts around a lot of things and it leaves more questions than answers.
And this is why we want to dig into trying to find an article or articles about this situation in comparison to what we're reading here, because we might be able to get a little bit more insight. But anytime I see the name J.H. Blatter and I see liquor and I see all of a sudden moonshine appearing in mason jars and canteens now. I don't know why the guy would be carrying his liquor around in a canteen. I mean, definitely not for resale. Maybe to carry it and drink it or carry it with his friends. But that just seems odd that it's in a sack and you have jars of alcohol and canteens of alcohol to if you're going to be selling it. You know, that just does it. It's not making any sense. So I bought moonshine before, and you either get a pint, or you get a quart, get a half gallon, or you get a gallon. You know,
right.
You don't say, I don't want a canteen's worth. And you definitely don't carry it in a sack. You don't carry all the jars in a sack.
You don't carry it down to meet the chief of police now. I think you probably leave it in your bedroom upstairs last time I checked.
That would be an easy answer to cover up something.
Oh yeah, because during the scuffle and the fight and the gunshots, that's going to get busted or somebody's going to trip over it. It's not there when they start the fight, and all of a sudden. A ghastly sight of, oh my God, that devil alcohol under this dead man's head, under his body, you know.
Yeah.
Wow. So, I mean, it's like planting, you know, dope on somebody, you know. It's like after a shooting, they sprinkle them, you know, throw whatever drug that they have on them that make it look like it's a good shooting. So, you know, I'm leaning more toward that probably Pope was an honest fella, and they had to get him out of the way. They go get him out of the courtroom.
Yeah.
They bring him down. He sees Angel. Angel just happens to run into him. And so Angel goes with him. It may or may not have been part of the plan. I think they wanted to get Pope down there by himself and assassinate him. It's not adding up, you know. It just doesn't add that the chief of police, you know, he's killed. The two witnesses are killed, and all of a sudden you have a new police chief, and J.H. Blair has all the liquor.
Well, what if, okay, if Officer Pope, we feel like he's the good guy in this. Okay. So what if it was more to get rid of him because the other police were corrupt?
That would bring
in the whole liquor thing, and they were willing to turn a blind eye, but maybe Officer Pope wasn't.
Right, that's
he was going to put a stop to this.
Yes, because I don't think that.
I get a good feeling about him. I don't think he was corrupt.
Yeah, I think, you know, Chief Pope is not going to go in there. They told Chief Pope there's a lot more going on because they never identify the person that got him. That's the name I want. Because we'll go to the first part of the story. Let's go back up to the first part of the story to Chief Pope.
Okay. And then I've got a serious comment that has been rolling around in my head.
And he met Officer Angel. Okay,
yeah.
So the one Chief Pope met first was Angel.
Yeah,
right on time.
Chief Pope had been called from the courtroom in the circuit court, which is where Mando Shepard would be killed. No, actually, this was the courthouse before that. Chief Pope had been called from the courtroom in the circuit court, where he was a witness for the Commonwealth to investigate Trump. Who got Chief Pope? Why come get the chief? Why pass up the deputies? Why not go get the sheriff?
Why would you bring the chief in? That doesn't make sense to me. It's kind of like overkill.
Yeah, why do you get the chief out of court? You know.
Angel could have done it just as well.
It's just a couple of drunks in their own home. So
that's not something that you would normally call a chief for.
Right.
What if Angel's the one that killed Pope?
It's very possible.
Because he was the first one that Pope saw was Angel. And we already suspect that he's playing both sides of the fence.
Yes.
And like you said, I agree, Tony, with you 1,000,000,000%. For two drunks, why are you going to call out the chief of police? That makes no sense.
Yeah, right. No sense whatsoever.
But who would have called the police about this? I mean, okay, you think about it. You got Mr. and Mrs. Boss, who's drunk. You got, you know, who would have called the cops on that? Who would have even known to?
If they called the cops every time somebody got drunk, the police would never visit the station. They'd be gone 24 hours a day. So, I mean, let's be realistic.
So you go get the chief of police out of court for some drunks that are down that are in their own home that may have a little alcohol, and you're not talking about a great amount of alcohol these guys had, you know, a couple of gallons of alcohol at the most, you know.
There was no reason to get called out there to begin with.
Right. Okay. Let's add this up. The Sid Ball, they turned him over, and under the sack, under the head of Sid Ball, Sid Ball fell on this sack. He fell on it. You imagine that. Nothing broke. It stayed intact throughout the whole fight and all that. So under the head of Sid Ball contained, one gallon moonshine, one half gallon in a jar, that's a gallon and a half. Another half gallon in two army canteens. That's 2 gallons. That's not a lot of liquor, guys. not in downtown Harlem at that time.
But see, that's my point. That's not a liquor for down there. So why in the world would they even waste the manpower for two drunks? And the thing of it is these were not two drunks that were out at other businesses disturbing the peace.
They
were in the
went,
home.
They
could have gone in there and swept it off.
Right. And they could have arrested them the next day, or they could have went and made them pour it out. I mean, there's some underlying things here because that, you know, first off, you have all of a sudden 2 gallons of moonshine show up. And if they were going to sell this to the rank and file person, it would have been in court jars. I promise you. It would have been in court jars. I mean, they would have took a gallon and poured it into the court jars. But it sounds like to me that J.H. Blair or somebody had busted. This is stuff that's going to be at a steal. Okay, you're going to transport it in the gallon jars from the steel to wherever you're going. And once you get to wherever you're going, it gets broken down into pints and quarts. So it doesn't make any sense if these guys, if Sid Ball and Lloyd are not reselling and they're just drinking, and see, it didn't say anything about in here about suspected bootleggers. Not one time.
No, nothing.
The word
it doesn't.
Nothing.
This is a bogus excuse for that.
Just right, just to go into the house. So we go back up to the beginning of the article. Chief Oak had been called from the search court room where his witness from the Commonwealth to investigate this trouble. When Chief Pope and officer went there to arrest 2 men who were alleged to be intoxicated, who went to?
Ball would have never offered to bring his son down if he was drunk. He must not have been drunk.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He'd been sleeping at all. And so the timeline, so you had maybe, you know, first a mystery person that's in the basement that nobody saw, that nobody can identify. Then you got the police that are in a room, you know, in the middle part. Upstairs you have a guy come down. Downstairs you have a guy come up. Sounds a little bit like an ambush to me.
Well, it does to me, too. And the other thing is, we still have this unknown guy that fled the scene and left. Now, if there is one unknown man, there's no reason to think there weren't more.
Right. And that was the guy in the basement. That was the guy in the basement. So,
and we don't know that there weren't more people in that basement.
And
I will swear up and down, the whole thing was bogus as far as why they got him out there. Just like you said, and I agree with you. Why would you call a chief of police for two drunks?
Right. Now, and so also, what and that would explain if there was more than two shooters. I mean, you had the two balls, you had Lloyd and Sid, and you had the unknown shooter. So we'll say they all had 6 rounds. She had 18 rounds. And that would explain some of the bullet holes in the wall from maybe the guy from downstairs. If it's smoky and stuff, he's shooting, he might not be hitting nothing. But if you're drunk and all of a sudden there's gunfire upstairs, you're probably going to go out a window. Are you going to run? You're not going to.
The drunk guys weren't pulling the trigger because they wouldn't be able to shoot straight if their life depended on it. If they were drunk enough that they had to have the police called.
Right. I mean, they would be definitely impaired. They're probably not going to be wanting a gun battle. And if they did, I mean, they put up too good of a fight. for Officer Angel grabs one, you know, Chief Pope, he gets, I believe he gets shot in the back, too. Let's read on down here. Chief Pope's gun had two exploded shells in it. It was picked up where the chief fell dead. Blood was spattered all over the floor and on the lower step of the stairs. Those guns, blah, 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 nine people or nine bullet holes. Dr. Howard and Kay Wood removed two .32 caliber lead balls from Pope's body. Okay, so obviously one of those guys got him. One entered the left arm side range upward and locked his neck, the other entering his right hand between thumb and index finger, lodging near his shoulder. Another bullet, so I should have been took out three bullets. Another bullet entered the middle of his back but did not pass through the body.
Well, somebody from there just piped in and said to me, "You'll never find me." Now, who it is or why, I don't know, but it's like as loud as they could, screaming in my head, and they did it three times.
Well, here's the thing. This helps us with the you know, Pope gets shot in the back. He's engaging Lloyd, and Angel's fighting Sid. Then the assassin shoots Tim Squire in the back. The guy downstairs is the one that killed Pope. I mean, finished him off. That was the most devastating shot. Sid Ball was shot right through the right jaw. The bullet came out of the back of his head. His face being slightly powder burned, another lodged in his right hand. And that's consistent with the fight. You know, they're wrestling for a gun. He shoots him in the hand, trying to shoot him in the body. And then he raises up and he shoots him in the face. Lloyd was shot through the heart. The bullet came out of his back. The body's Lloyd Ball and his son Sid Ball were taken to Aegis. I know that was that. Burial took place at 12:30. Widow and six children. The body of Chief Pope was taken to famous cemetery in Wascioto, Kentucky, which is now Pineville, for burial.
You mean Pineville that you and I are working on a project with, Tony?
Yes, that's it. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, here's another thing, just putting it out here that isn't making any sense to me. Okay? When you read about it, it talks about Pope going to the house. Okay, he sees Mr. Ball first. He asks where the drunken men are. And he says, one's upstairs, one's downstairs. And then he tells him, if you just wait a little while, he would himself bring the men into court. That's bizarre to me. Why would he say, just go ahead and go, I'll bring him in later?
Here's the thing.
Who does that? That makes no sense.
Right, if I'm doing testimony and somebody comes up to me and drags me out of court and says, you know, there are two drunks down there and you got to go get them, I would say, I'm in the middle of court. I have to testify. Go get Deputy Angel and Deputy Joe Bob and go down and have them arrest them. I'll be down shortly.
That's bizarre, too. But when he does go to the house, I've never heard of such a thing where an officer goes to someone's house to arrest them. They're in the house, mind you. It's not like they're not there, but they're in the house, and somebody else in the house says, oh, take off. I'll go bring him up to you later. Like, who delivers people like that to go to jail?
Right. How did the person that got to Chief Pope know they were drunk?
Exactly.
So that information was fed to him by somebody that wanted him down there, and I'm sure they added more than they're just drunk. They probably told him there's cases of liquor. It sounds like to me the guy's got locked up. We got one upstairs, one downstairs, one in the middle room. I don't think they had planned on Angel running to Angel and breaking
I'm not convinced they were ever drunk to begin with, because if you've got a bunch of drunks, they're loud. Nowhere does it say anything about anybody hearing these drunken men. Okay? No. And when you go back to Dr., what is it, Vermelli? Is that how it's pronounced?
Vermillion.
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 Okay? He said he was out on his back porch. He saw a ball. He doesn't say anything about any drunken men running around, screaming, carrying on. Okay, if they're bad enough where the law is going to be called, they're disturbing the peace. But yet
yes.
Nobody in any of this seems to claim that they were disturbing the peace.
There's nothing.
So I'm not even I am not convinced they were even drunk to begin with.
Go ahead, Tony. I found something in here.
I mean, that's a hard call since we weren't there. All we can say for certain is there was liquor found, but, you know, I think that was
the liquor was found. They don't know it was ever consumed.
I know. I'm thinking it was a setup, and then they dropped the.
I believe that. I agree with you 100%.
Then all of a sudden, J.H. Blair, you know, one of the dirtiest sheriffs ever been in Harlan County, shows up. You know, him and his deputy.
Yeah.
And then there's some liquor, and the body of one of the balls had been moved. They were dead. All of them were dead.
Yep.
Yet
they moved him into bed. Who in the world does that?
Why would you put a bloody body in the bed? Why not put it on
there
the
couch? There are so many things wrong with this entire story.
Yeah.
That even if you just picked one out of the many, there's no way it's legit. I mean, this is all a fabricated thing of what went down, and there's no truth in it. I mean, why did anybody call to have these? If this is correct and what they're saying is actually what happened, which we know it's not, why would you even call the police, whether it's the chief or anybody, to come and pick up drunk men if they're not being disruptive? And nowhere does it show are they disruptive. Even the doctor never heard him being disruptive.
Right.
He never mentioned it. He just said he saw
right.
Mr. Ball.
Right. He didn't say that.
So there was no reason.
Coming from the house. There was no reason.
No, nothing.
Right.
And then you take that where there's no reason to be called to begin with, and then they insist on the chief. That's crazy. The whole thing is just there's something
right.
underneath of it that went on.
Right.
Well, here's something that makes absolutely no sense, and it's in the next paragraph down, and it talks about how they took the statement of Dr. Vermillion, Dan Ball, Mrs. Sally Ball, and the young Dan Ball. Now, we never heard about Dan. Was Dan a brother or and the young Dan Ball?
Was
I mean,
he one of the kids? Was he a child?
Well, why on earth would
it was like he was one of the brothers or and then that was Dan Jr.
Yeah, but it never talked about them even being there.
No. So why would they take a statement from him?
Now, Ms. Sally Ball, I believe, I'm guessing that his wife. So who is Dan and his son? Where did they come in all this?
Right. There's a lot.
And it does say, and Tony, it does say something right here that I think is very telling. They said that all the witnesses spoke to the the tragedy occurred as was given to the reporter. What reporter is that? It's reporter with a capital R. Was there a newspaper called the Reporter?
Yeah, the Reporter. This article came from the Harlan Daily Enterprise. This is where the
came from. What is it? It acts like Reporter is a capital name. You know, it's capitalized like it's Harlan County Reporter.
Like the name of a newspaper.
But maybe it's not. You know, Tony, you'll see it. That's the most curious statement. Who's the reporter? The court reporter? Did they haul him up there Tuesday afternoon and have him make statements? This is just not even, it's not even good fiction. Sorry.
No, but why in the world is the Ball family gone into silence? They never spoke about it. They refused to speak about it. Are they not speaking about it because they're afraid that something's going to happen to them?
That's right.
If Sheriff Blair puts a gun right up to your nose and says, "Don't talk about this to poor old Mrs. Ball," she's not going to talk about it.
Oh, she's not going to say a word.
No, and that's obviously, you know. So Tony, if getting that newspaper story is going to be critical, because you can basically, you know, compare the newspaper story on the 23rd of November with this incident that happened the 22nd of November. I mean, just, you know, that's what you need to do. And are those papers available, like as microfiche or something?
That's what I'm going to check. I'm not sure they go back that far. But there'll be something somewhere, you know, maybe in the Chicago Tribune, because the Chicago Tribune used to have satellite offices in Harlem. And so that's a possibility. But if we get on the trail, we'll be able to find something and get a little bit more light on this.
Well, I don't know. This is so curious. And also, this thing happened so close to Thanksgiving. I mean, because it was November 28th. If that was a Tuesday, then November 30th would have been Thanksgiving. And there might not have even been a newspaper came out in 1922 Thanksgiving weekend. I mean, you might be skunked on the fact that there might be no report anywhere. But who knows?
Well, I'll start out by getting all the death certificates and then comparing what the death certificates say to what's written in the story.
Right. Well, now, what we want you to, approximately when do you think you'll have the death certificates and you'll have information on whether or not there was a newspaper article written on that? Because that would be, if you don't, that would be a fascinating follow-up story.
Probably a couple of weeks, you know. What shouldn't that mean? No more than a couple of weeks. So this is my
maybe by February.
Oh God, February? Yes.
Well, Thanksgiving.
Oh yeah.
I mean, Christmas coming up, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, MLK Day.
But no, actually, I usually take the last couple of weeks off of December. And that allows me to go do research. I already planned on doing some research anyway. And I'll put this on my to-do list because I'll be in the location that I'll need to look at, you know, that I could possibly have the information anyway looking for some more stuff.
Well, do you mind if I post the article on Murder 123?
No, not at all.
Okay. I will do that right now as we're speaking. So, Robin, you're the one that is good at getting vibes. What is your final take on this?
I think Polk was set up. I think that the claim that this was all with two intoxicated people and it had to do with the moonshine, I think it's all bogus. I don't think there was any drunk people. I don't think there ever was. I think the moonshine was planted. I think that we can't discredit the fact that there was paranormal activity there, but what it can do is if there was already a plot in the works that was non-paranormal, those dark entities and the paranormal stuff will egg it on top of it. So that's, you know, that's something that I don't think that was the reason it went down, but I don't think it helped. And
right.
I'm sure
okay.
that the paranormal activity probably got more heightened afterwards because those spirits there are going to be unrested. But I just think that this whole thing is one giant cover-up. I think Angel knew about it. I think he was in on it. And I think the only one that wasn't in on it was Pope. And they wanted him gone.
That's a terrible thing to say, but it's true. The only person who wasn't in on was the guy that got shot. No, it's just funny the way you phrased it. It's so accurate.
How does he get shot in the back? See?
Well, it's possible. And I don't think either when he got shot, it went down how they said. I think he got ambushed. I think it was not, he came in. I think this is just ludicrous. He came in and Ball said, you know what? One's upstairs, one downstairs. Tell you what, I'll just bring them to you later. That would never happen. Never in a million years. I mean, I don't
know. Not even in Harlan.
No, I don't know what turn up truck they think everybody fell off of, but I don't think there's anybody that's going to buy that.
No. And then the thing where Mr. Ball was on his back porch 5 minutes before he got shot. You know, that tells me that, you know, he's either clearing his mind.
Exactly. And the doctor never heard any commotion from the drunk.
Right.
You're not going to, okay, that'd be like because my neighbor has a beer now and then I'm going to call the police and say, oh, they're now drunk. I mean, if that was the case, they'd have to arrest half the people on the planet. I mean, good Lord. That doesn't mean they're disturbing the peace. And the only reason that you're going to go arrest a drunk is because they're disruptive and they're disturbing the peace. Getting drunk is not illegal.
Right. And then all the
disturbing
people,
the peace
know,
from it is.
Yeah. And Sheriff Blair's showing up within minutes of the shooting. And, you know, it could all be coincidence. I don't think so. I think you said that.
I don't believe in coincidence. I just don't. And I think, you know, they were drunk, okay, fine. They're in somebody's house. Sleep it off, buddies. You don't call the chief of police.
Right, Adam.
That is just ludicrous. It would have been ludicrous to call the police to begin with because nobody's complaining about their behavior or a valid reason why.
Somebody fed Pope the information because they wanted Pope there. They
absolutely.
They could, I mean, they could have went and got the sheriff. They could have done it. They could have done, you know. So
yeah, and they did.
They
went for him, and I think that's very telling.
Right. Now, we were speaking about the paranormal activity. Now, in the 80s and 90s, or 90, you know, from around 90s up to the early 2000s, the residence that these folks were killed at was used as an ambulance service.
Great.
They and you know how that is. They're on call, so they all go in, they'll sit down, and that you know until there's a call out and all that. And I've heard from several people that work there that they would hear footsteps. Now, this mostly on the second floor, that there, you would have footsteps. You would hear people talking.
Yeah.
They would be asleep in one of the rooms. Somebody would get in bed with them.
I imagine that it probably still goes on today there. I'm going to tell you guys something, and this is really crazy. Probably shouldn't even say this on air. But when John just asked me about my take on it and I was telling you about it, I'm sitting here by myself, okay? Even, you know, the mascot cat is running around the room. He's not even by my body right now. Something just pulled my hair, and I'm telling you, they pulled it hard. Like, I could hear my hair getting pulled out, but yet I can't find any of the hair.
Wow.
Like, it literally hurt. It wasn't a slight tug. I get that from the Bigfoots all the time. This was literally like something ripped out a chunk of my hair in the back with enough force that it pulled my head back.
Wow.
And you can hear, like, if your hair gets pulled out, you can, like, when you're brushing, well, you guys wouldn't know because you don't have any hair. But, like, for women, when you're brushing your hair, you can hear the hair getting pulled out. And I just heard that, but yet there's not one piece of hair anywhere that's been pulled out. But yet it did it with enough force where it pulled my head back. when I was talking about it. And as soon as I quit talking about it, it stopped. So I'm just putting that out there. And prior to that, remember I said I heard a voice that told me three times, you'll never find me. And that was all it said.
Here's something else that happened there. The ambulances would start on their own. The lights.
Yeah, there's a lot of paranormal activity there. I think it goes back to the Native Americans, but I think with everything else that's happened, it's just increased.
Well, and get this, the phones would ring. But the cables, but the phones that were ringing were long dead. The lines were long cut.
Great.
That's awesome.
Sounds like the Litchfield mansion down in Litchfield, South Carolina. A friend of mine used to work there, and he was on he was his detail was the bar, and a ghost took a line to him. And sometimes the phone in the bar would ring, and he would pick it up, and he would hear static. And then one time he picked it up, heard static, and someone in the kitchen picked it up and heard somebody breathing and no static. So, I mean, just all kinds of things can happen, you know, when you have spirit, when you have spirits around. I mean, it can just be a...
Yeah, absolutely. I've had phone rings that weren't weren't plugged in. I've had my phone that I had on would shut off, and it, for a long time I thought it was just my phone. And one time it was off, and it rang anyway. And the phone was turned off. And I have a music box that was my late grandmother's, and she meant everything to me. And that music box hadn't worked in almost 15 years when she passed. And I got it, and I had it for probably 30 days, and I was thinking about her one day, and that music box just started playing like crazy. And it lasted for a couple minutes, and it didn't play again for about 4 or 5 years. And at another time, I was thinking, I mean, I think about her all the time, but I was thinking about her, and I did the same thing and played, and never played again.
Wow.
How pleasant. Oh, my goodness. Wow. This is great. Well, I'll tell you what, Robin, you
have a chunk of hair gone.
Robin, you have been very helpful with your intuition. And I got the same exact intuition vibes. I was listening to the same.
Did
apparently
you
I was no, I mean, I told you that a couple of times. Apparently I was tuned into the same to the same blackboard.
Yeah, but you didn't get your hair pulled, I bet.
No, I didn't, but my back hurts, and now it stopped hurting again, so whatever. It's just all kinds of crazy stuff going on. Tony, have you had anything happening to you in the last few minutes?
No, I'm fine. I mean, it's
you're all right. Well, that's good. We're glad you're fine.
But I have a lot of questions. You know, whenever I always talk about Chief Pope and all the stuff that happened there, I get a not an easy feeling, but like you know, I want to get to the bottom of it, and I know there's way more to that than the cookie cutter story that's been told about Chief Pope.
Well, somebody just said we know who you're looking for, but they're not giving details. And there was whatever spirit this is, there's three of them together. And they said, we know who you're looking for. But they aren't telling me anything. They're just saying these little sentences, and then they're done. And they're laughing.
Yeah. And they're laughing?
Chief
this last
Pope
time they laughed.
Ask them, was Chief Pope set up?
Of course he was.
Was he ambushed?
That's what they said. Of course he was.
Well, it was,
We set it up. They said, we set it up. He never knew.
Well,
that's what they said.
So I've put...
It had to do with money. It had a lot to do... It had to do with more stuff than the alcohol. They're saying it has to do with money, a lot of money.
Well, that would be the alcohol trade and prostitution and stuff like that.
Well, it's possible because they're saying that it was worth a lot of money. That's why he had to die.
But I mean, alcohol, prostitution, gambling was it. I mean, that was there was.
Tony, back then, did they keep money in like a sack, like a light-colored burlap type sack at all?
I don't know. I mean, that's
yes,
they did. I have.
Sack.
I have one
me
of those.
Sack with, do you, they're
yeah.
showing me this sack with all this money in it, and there's a piece of twine around the top of it.
Did that come out of the Ball residence?
I don't know. They're just showing it to me.
That
I think
that
they said yes. They said down in the basement there was more money.
What were the Balls doing to make that money? Were they working for J.H. Blair? Who were they working for?
Let me ask and see if they'll say anything. They said they were working for themselves.
Huh.
He said there was them that was at the house. And there was two others, and what they're saying is one of the two other ones that weren't at the house were the main boss. And he protected them. And that this had to happen because there was too much money at risk. They said something about hiding it under the stairs. There was money hidden under the stairs. But not like on the floor. They're showing it like it's up under the steps. You know, not on the ground, but actually off the ground under the steps. I don't know if it was attached to the underside of the steps in some way. I don't know. That's just what I'm getting told.
Hmm. I mean, I'll research it.
And they said the one that we'll never find is the main boss for it. Because I just said, who's the one that we can't find? And he said, our boss.
Was he a politician?
Okay.
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me.
Something about, yeah, something about Pope was on the verge of finding out about it. He started looking into it, and he was on the verge of finding out. He was investigating it, and he almost found out what was going on. So as far as they're concerned, he had to go.
Well, and see, you have to realize that 1922, Prohibition had just started. So, yeah, it would have been worth a lot of money, especially what if they, you know.
They're talking about laundering money.
Well, I mean, it's only, it's not that far from Johnson City. Back in those days, it had been 4 or 5 hours. But, you know, but Harlan and Cumberland both had ties to the mob, the Cincinnati.
He's saying that the prostitution.
Uh-huh.
And the moonshine were only small parts of it. He's really pushing the money laundering. I don't know if that was prominent back then or not, but that's what he's saying. I'm not saying any of this is right. I'm just telling you guys what I'm being told.
Huh.
All I can do is repeat
uh-huh.
it.
Prohibition was from 1920 to 1933.
Oh, my God.
So Chief Pope was killed 2 years into Prohibition.
Well, there's somebody in the mob that had control of the politician. And the politician was the one that they answered to as well as somebody in the mob.
Well, I mean, I've heard stories that, and I actually can ask a couple people that know the history, but I'm 90% positive that at one time the mob had a big influence because, well, if we'll go back to the Beach Brothers that we were talking about, that where they killed all those folks, that's just who we know they killed. And they kept
well, the mob guy wasn't the mob guy wasn't there. He was in Chicago. He said he was one of the heads in Chicago.
You know who that is. We've already talked about him. That's Al Capone.
Al Capone.
That is Capone. Yeah, I just figured that out because
I didn't even
Harlan's
think about it because I didn't even think about it. I was focused on what they were saying so I could repeat it, but you're right. So this all ties back into Capone.
And he drove or whatever. He got into Harlan. That wasn't hard for Capone to come by there and pick up a bag of money. Was it, Tony?
Yeah,
he
said the mob boss wasn't there and he controlled the politician. The politician controlled everything that went on in Harlan. And that's who they answered directly to, but they also had to answer to the mob boss. But he's insisting that the mob boss was out of Chicago. He said he didn't like to get his fingers dirty, so he didn't stay there.
As Capone, so as you've just described Al Capone based on our very first show, Robin, thank you very much. That completely describes Al Capone.
You know
Capone.
What? It's funny because I was just repeating what I was told. I was not in the zone to think about that.
And I was sitting here putting two and two together. The minute you said Chicago, we know Capone was the only gangster that hung out in Johnson City. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, 25. No, it was Capone. So now that puts everything – now, Tony, that puts everything in a little better perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there was definitely organized crime activity here. And if whether the mob guy ordered the hit or not, somebody locally would have definitely had a lot to gain by taking him out if he was shutting down the speakeasies and the prostitution and things like that. Because in 1922, Harlan County was starting to boom. They had already had a little bit of a boom for World War One because they needed coal for steel. Then your population was starting to explode. You had Portal 31, Portal 30 in Lansing that were employing thousands of people. You had the same thing going around Harlan. You had all these smaller to mid-sized mines that were employing hundreds of people. So,
Tony, do you have pictures of these guys at all?
I'm sorry?
I know it's a crazy question. Do you have pictures of these guys, like Angel and all those?
We have a picture of Pope on the website, courtesy of Tony.
Not
Pope.
So, a photo of Pope.
What?
A photo of Angel somewhere. I think I've seen one. I may have one somewhere.
The reason why I ask is I can see him in my head, and he won't tell me who he is. So I wondered if I could see a picture, maybe I would know if it was him or not. He's really cocky, very snarky. He doesn't even feel nice. He reminds me of a thug.
Or Paul Lind. I'm sorry. Paul appreciates that. He likes being called snarky. That was his favorite thing to do. Wow. So, Tony, I think we have moved forward, and I have already posted on the murder123.com website that in the beginning of February, we're going to have a follow-up report. So are you good with that, Tony?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Robin, you good with that one?
Yeah, sounds good to me. I'm sorry. I was not anticipating him starting talking, whoever he is.
That's okay. That's okay. I'm trying to find a photo really quickly of Angel. If I'm not mistaken.
This guy has got short, dark hair, like a burr cut, but he's got kind of a squared forehead.
Right. On police website, it's got him as 28. That's what we figured, 28 when he died. I can't find.
Well, definitely not Polk because I saw his picture on there.
I've actually found an article, Three Dying Liquor Raid, United Press Report. Three men were dead today as a result of an attempted booze raid on the home of Harlem. It was just a partial article. Yesterday, when Chief Pope entered the house in search of liquor, Bell followed fire, and a gun battle would follow. Pope shot James Ball, his son Sidney Ball, staggered from the house, mortally wounded. United Press.
All right, Tony. Tony, can you please email me that link, and I want to put that up on the website as well for people to enjoy. Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
Great. That's right, everybody. Murder 123. It's the only show where we do the investigation right in front of you.
Right on it. Yeah. I mean, we're just doing it right in front.
Do what?
I said we get on the trail. It's hard to get us off.
I know.
It
and
is.
So, Tony, I've got to ask you a favor. Make sure that the some promotion of this episode goes on our sponsor's webpage, The Crypto Guru. We want people to hear this, but Robin, we want people to hear this show, don't we?
Absolutely. And we love the Crypto Crew.
Well, yeah, we appreciate it. They're great, especially since
Thomas
we have one of the crew right
amazing.
Here.
And if everybody, and I'll make a shameless plug, if the folks could go either to our website, www.cryptocrew.com, check that out, or check us out on Facebook, get a like, share, or go to our YouTube
yep.
channel with Crypto Watch, and please subscribe. So, shameless plug.
Yep.
Shameless
well, that's
plug,
all right. They will not be disappointed. Crypto Crew is amazing. It's one of the few sites I've really looked
link.
At.
Yeah, we want a shameless link to Murder 123 tonight, the murder of public, the murder of police chief, James Pope. We want that, and we've got the follow-up story scheduled in February. We're going to try to have the follow-up on Chris Benoit in January. So we're going to have lots of follow-up, lots of fun, and I do want to announce to everybody as the time runs out for this marvelous, marvelous experience, we will be announcing the date of the first Murder 123 conference. It'll be out on a location right now, and it will be a blast. We will probably get up there and do some investigation in front of everybody, just like we're doing tonight. I mean, you know, and I think people will enjoy it, and the Crypto Crew will be there waving from the stage. Right, Tony?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Well, it's been wonderful. The British lady is going to stop us here in about 2 minutes, so I'm going to give everybody 30 seconds for a shameless plug, and then I'll pull the plug until next week. So we'll start ladies first. Robin, what shameless plug do you have for tonight?
SasquatchGenomeProject.org. You know what? I will defend that till my dying day. You got to know the real stuff and the real DNA and the Bigfoots. That's where you go. You know, the truth may not always be what we want, but like we always say, you can't change the truth.
Unless you go to a different time stream. And
the truth is still the truth.
It'll be the truth somewhere. Thank you, Robin. We love having you on the show. Tony, what is your shameless plug?
Just the Crypto Crew. If you guys, if the people listening can go check us out, it really helps us whenever they like and share what we do. It helps us get our message out to more folks, and that's what we enjoy doing.
That's great,
yeah.
Tony. Thank you. And also be sure to check out our other sponsor, Vindicated Entertainment, the producers of Spellslinger, one of the most engaging games you have ever tried. So this is Dr. John saying thanks to our crew tonight. Devin will be back. He's been doing some holiday traveling early. He said he can't wait to listen to the show tonight. I got a text from him. So we'll have next week we've got a special show. We are going to talk about the conspiracy theory behind the demise of Anna Nicole Smith. We're going to revisit that.
Oh, that's going to be good.
It will bring you to North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and everywhere. And I did one show about it 2 years ago. Everybody laughed. the pieces are falling into place. So we'll see you next week.
Good.
10 p.m. Eastern.
Take
on
care.
Murder. 1, 2, 3. Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Good night, everybody. Bye-bye.